This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
The other day, I was scanning through some articles on leadership, and in particular, my attention was drawn to some material on servant leadership. Well, I thought that sounds good, but how does it really work? At about the same time, MemCare's Scott Hollinger sat down with Dr. Stacy Reinhart and Dr. Rick Sessoms of MentorLink International to talk about servant leadership. So, right now, let's listen in on that conversation.
How did you come to focus on the need for developing leaders globally?
Back in the late 90s, we began to observe an enormous influx of new Christians through ministries like the Jesus Film and other ministries doing things called saturation church planting. A proliferation of new converts, a proliferation of new churches. And as we began to look around the scene globally, we realized that there was no way to accelerate leadership development, none that at least we knew of. And so we pulled together a partnership in 1999 of 13 leaders from 12 ministries, which included Wycliffe and Campus Crusade. And I, at that point, was with the Navigators, Topic, World Team, Send International, and so on. And we came together for 3 days to ask the question, how do we increase the quality and quantity of leaders for the body of Christ? Realizing that there was an enormous shortfall, we knew that unless we could increase the quality and quantity of leaders, we were going to have a lot of new believers and a lot of new churches that would flounder and disappear, frankly. So we pulled this partnership together just to look at this question. We concluded that what was needed was a kind of leader that really reflected the servant model of Jesus. So much of our leadership training in the world, the evangelical world at that time, was really adapted from the business world and had some verses put on it to make it sound spiritual, but it wasn't the same in essence as what Jesus communicated. So we began asking the question, well, how do we really help people understand this transformation that needs to happen, which is a transformation of the heart that works itself out in character, which works itself out in the way a leader leads with his people or ministers to the people God's called him to. So that's how we began.
As you all were speaking about this, was there a fairly unanimous consensus among the group, or were there people who said, wow, I'm not sure that that's really necessary?
Well, our leaders that came in this partnership had shoe leather experience in leadership development virtually in all the continents when you combine us combine all of us. And we realized that to the person that we had to have this kind of model if we were going to really meet the needs of people in the field and in the local ministries. So there were no holdbacks. Everybody was full on with this leadership model that Jesus gave us in the servanthood metaphor.
I might add, Scott, that Stacy founded MentorLink back in 2000. I'm rather new to the MentorLink community. I've been involved in other venues, having the opportunity to observe what's happening in the area of leadership and leadership development worldwide. One of those venues is the Lausanne movement that some may be familiar with. It was begun by Billy Graham back in 1974, and it continues to this day with focuses on world evangelization. And one of the key issues, of course, with reaching the world for Christ is leadership and the questions surrounding leadership development. Stacy and I have been involved with the Leadership Development Working Group out of Lausanne for some years. And back in 2004, there was a gathering in Pattaya, Thailand, that I facilitated a group of people that were focused on leadership development. I don't remember how many countries were represented, but I think there were something over 50 countries that were in the room during that week together. There were about 175 of us or something like that. And there was just this unanimous sense that that this need for developing servant leaders is just the cry of the day, and it's really an urgent issue. We went further than that, and in 2006 had a meeting in Malaysia for younger leaders, ages 25 to 35. There were 107 countries represented in that meeting, about 500 participants, a little bit more than 500. And again, this overwhelming consensus of feeling that there's this desperate need for developing Christ-centered leaders worldwide, and the need for getting close to these people to focus on character issues.
Well, as you say, there's a crying need. Why is it seen as so important?
Well, from my perspective, and Stacey, I'd love to hear your input, but from my perspective, everywhere we go, we find that, as Stacey alluded just a moment ago, everywhere we go, we find that different cultures have different expressions of leadership. Our Christian leaders today have tended to drift toward the dominant power models of leadership within their respective cultures. And this is due to the fact, frankly, that a lot of them have taken their cues from the North American church. We have some very dominant models in this culture that would suggest that unless you're big and successful and prominent, you can't possibly be in the will of God. And so we've seen that take the church off its rails in many ways to go in directions that God never intended. And so younger leaders particularly are feeling this pressure, feeling this tension when they read what the Bible says and when they see what's happening in many leadership contexts. They're just seeing this disconnect. And so there's this desperate cry for something different.
A question that I would have then is, you mentioned younger leaders as opposed to the older leaders. And so I would assume that the kind of leadership you're talking about really should transcend generations as well as culture then.
Absolutely. When we stand before Jesus, he's going to evaluate us based on his standards, not our preferences. Hmm. And he's been very clear about what he wants of ministry leaders. The two sons of Zebedee came to Jesus and said, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And he said, "Well, what do you want?" And they said, "Well, we want to sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory."
Right.
And they were asking for positions of power, which had prestige and influence and all the perks that came with the position. That was their mindset. And then when the other 10 disciples heard what James and John had asked Jesus, it says in Mark 10 that they became indignant. They were really upset. Well, they were not upset because of what they asked, but because they asked first.
Right, exactly,
and,
yes.
And so you had all 12 of them that had this value system of leadership is by position, mm-hmm. and with it power and all the perks and all that kind of stuff. So Jesus called all 12 of them together and he said, "Guys, we got a problem.
Right.
You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them." He acknowledged a paradigm of leadership, and they're great men, he says, "I exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you." And he said that phrase, "it shall not be so among you." He turned leadership for the kingdom upside down. Mm. He said, "If you want to be great, you're a servant. If you want to be the greatest of all, you're a slave of all." So Jesus will evaluate us based on his criteria, and that passage and others like it in the Gospels reflect his criteria. So it really doesn't matter what our evangelical culture likes, what we think is right. It matters what Jesus thinks.
And so it's interesting too, Stacy, that the people that Jesus was addressing in that incident that you were talking about were young people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not about generational. Any right. of us is prone to violating what Jesus clearly taught in Scripture about the ways to follow him. But we hear this more, these dilemmas more from younger leaders, simply, in my opinion, because they have less invested in the dominant models that exist within the church today.
Yeah.
I would suspect that once they get invested, that unless they are part of a countercultural kind of an approach that is radically biblical. When I use radical, I'm talking about getting back to the root of things, that is radically biblical. They will be prone to the same kind of mistakes and problems that exist in the dominant models today.
There could be people who come from different cultures, different countries, who might look at a servant leadership model as compared to their culture and say, this just won't work for us. How would you respond to that?
Every culture will say that. It's so counter to the way of the flesh. The way the flesh wants to build itself up, be the center focus, and when you're a servant, you really are putting yourself under the authority of Jesus. You're putting right. yourself at the disposal of serving the agenda of the Spirit in another person's life, whatever that might mean. And it's not the way of the flesh. And every culture will face, every person in every culture will face the same issue. Will I put Jesus's way ahead of my own desires? Will I seek to control people, to rule over them like the Gentiles, or will I seek to be a servant?
Yeah.
Every culture will have that. It's an issue of the flesh versus the Spirit.
I think we've got more to say about that, but maybe we can take that up next time.
What I'm hearing is that each one of us who work in the kingdom have a challenge before us when it comes to servant leadership and modeling who Jesus really is. So that'll definitely be something that we talk about in our next time together.
Scott Hollinger talking with Dr. Stacy Reinhart and Dr. Rick Sessoms of MentorLink International about leadership, and in particular about servant leadership.
This feature is a presentation of MemberCare Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.